Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, and it does, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. And see, if the world thinks too much of you, you're probably not in good shape with the Lord. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning. Give us liberty and power to preach, wisdom. And I pray to God that the people would have hearing ears and understanding hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, How to Uncloak a Klingon, a Contemporary Message on Soul Winning. I love the title anyway. I handed the title to Sister Kathy there, and I saw she was just sitting there looking at it. How to Uncloak a Klingon, a Contemporary Message on Soul Winning. Now, and I want to talk to you about soul winning. That's what the message is actually about. You just have to interpret it for yourself. This is a contemporary. This is using current times and current themes to get across and illustrate an age-old message. Now, I don't know how many of y'all like science fiction. If you don't like science fiction, you're probably boring. Science fiction opens the mind, expands the horizon, gives you things to think about bigger than yourself. Science fiction can be conceptual. Now, it can be nonsense, too, but it can also start a lot of fights if you just want. But I like sci-fi. I was an avid reader of sci-fi when I was a boy. I've read it and I've enjoyed it all my life, mostly for the sake of entertainment. There's not much science in science fiction. It really could qualify most of the time as a fantasy, you know. But it's entertaining. It's really hard. The stuff my wife watches, you get emotionally involved in. And you end up crying at the end. Why people would do that to themselves on purpose is absolutely beyond me. They say, did you watch so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I cried like a baby. I thought, why would you do that? Give me something that's a distraction, a diversion. I don't want to think about reality. I think about that 24 hours a day. So I like science fiction because it's interesting, it's fun, and it's diversionary. Yet sometimes you see something that just catches your imagination. Now, I'm not really a dyed-in-the-wool Trekkie. I just never could. I always liked it. It's hokey. I mean, you know, the sets are hokey, the people are hokey, the themes are hokey. It's just hokey. But it's hard to get emotionally involved, I'll tell you that, you know. You can sit back and get a laugh or two. But sometimes it's interesting. Now, in the Star Trek series, they have an arch enemy of mankind, the Klingon. The Klingons are, they have space travel. They have all the same weapons and all that that the Federation has, but they're more like brute beast. They're rough and tumble. They're quarrelsome. They fight. They fight with themselves. They fight with everybody else. They're quick on the trigger. They're impulsive. They're emotional. Their mating rituals remind you of cats. I mean, it's just, they're a weird bunch. But they are very identifiable. If you ever see a Klingon, you never will not know a Klingon when you see one. They've got those facial features and the dark brown skin and them, that thing that comes down across their nose and the little ridges in it. And you know, I mean, they're just weird looking people. And the women are as ugly as the men. Now, why somebody would fight over one of them women is a mystery to me. You'd have to be a Klingon to figure that out. But the Klingons are they're untrustworthy, they're unreliable, they're mean, and they're all time trying to figure out some way to get over on the Federation, and they're stirring up trouble, and just on and on and on, you know, and it's been going on now for about 30 years on TV. And you have to remember that all this started long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. But the Klingons have got a device that the Federation doesn't have. You say, what's that? They have a cloaking device. Starfleet and the Federation can go to warp 10. They've got phasers. They've got neutron bombs and proton bombs, and they got all the standard stuff, and they've got shields they can put up around their ship, but they can't hide themselves. But the Klingons figured out a way to have a cloaking device. So if you come looking for them, or if they want to lay an ambush, they energize the cloaking device, and you can't see their ship. You can be right beside them, and not even know they're there. You can fly right past them, and your sensors can't pick them up. They are undetectable to the deepest space sensors on Enterprise. They can just hide. Flick a switch, and you can't see them anymore. Now, I looked up cloak and cloaking. And basically what a cloak is, or cloaking is, it means a device to protect or hide somebody or something. Used to, people wear cloaks, you know. They used to have a cloak room in school, and that's because you would go and get your cloak and you put your, and that's to protect you or hide you from the wind. When we cloak a thing, we cloak it in secrecy. That is, we're hiding it. It's real, it's there, but we don't want everybody to be aware that it's there. We want to hide it or protect it or defend it. Now, Jesus said because he came, they would have no cloak for their sin. That is, they won't be able to hide it. Well, you know what the Klingons now? Klingons in this contemporary soul winning message, the Klingons represent sinners. Unsaved, unregenerate, worldly, carnal sinners. So when we talk about the Klingons, I want you to know we're talking about every unsaved man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. They're all Klingons. And they all have a cloaking device. They are trying to hide something. You say, what are they trying to hide? They are trying to hide their carnal nature. They're trying to hide Adam. They're trying to hide what they really are, sinners. And they wear this cloak. They have this cloaking device that they think makes them invisible and undetectable to us Christians who are out looking for Klingons. We want to find them and capture them. And they don't want to be known as sinners. So they wear a cloaking device. In the Klingon, dealing with the Klingons, you have to understand that every time they get around Federation people, they have to hide or disguise or cloak what they really are. Now, there's a couple problems with it. Here's the deal. Klingons use a cloaking device to hide themselves and protect themselves, and sinners wear a cloaking device to hide and protect themselves from detection. But, I mean, the worst thing you can do to somebody these days is tell them they're a sinner. They don't want to hear that. I mean, who wants to be called a Klingon? Who wants to be called a sinner? Well, that's reprehensible. That's not a good thing. And we all want to hear good stuff. Amen? So sinners, in an effort not to be called sinners, cloak themselves with this device so that they don't appear to be what they really are. They're Klingons at heart. Now, the second thing about the Klingons is this. Even though they have this cloaking device and they can hide, it has limits. The Klingons must uncloak in order to fire their weapons. Now, how many of y'all are up on Star Trek? All right. I'm just sitting right here talking to you, buddy. Now, you know how them Klingons are. They get in there, and they got this ambush laid, and they're fixing to waylay this Federation spaceship. And so they put on the cloaking device, and they wait till the Enterprise or some Federation ship gets way too close to be able to escape. And they get ready, and they've got to arm their weapons, take the cloaking device off, and then fire. But you can't fire with the cloaking device on. And so they wait till the unsuspecting ship is right in the perfect spot. Then they say, uncloak, fire phasers. And they destroy the unsuspecting ship. Now sinners have got the same problem. They wear this cloaking device. But in order to be what they really are, to enjoy life the way they really want to do the things they really want to do, the things the old man, the carnal nature, really craves for, they have to lay aside their cloaking device. They can't fire their weapons without laying aside the cloaking device. So sinners, no matter what they pretend to be, no matter what kind of cloaking device they have, in order to be what they really want to be and live like they really want to live, they have to lay that device aside, which makes them vulnerable, which makes them susceptible, which makes them identifiable. Amen? So to Klingon, remember that, Klingons cannot fire their weapons. They can't live like they really want to live without deactivating the cloaking device. Not only that, cloaking devices consume vast amounts of energy. When they park the ship, put it in a holding orbit, and power up their phasers, and then turn on the cloaking device, they're pretty much maxed out. It just about takes all the power the ship can generate to energize the cloaking device and keep it operable. Amen? Which they can only do for a little while, and you just can't stay cloaked forever. Well, sinners are the same way, see? They put on their cloaking device. They're trying not to look like sinners. They're trying not to look like heathen. But boy, it's exhausting. It consumes vast amounts of energy. And they can only do it for a little while. And sooner or later, time will reveal what and who they really are. They cannot maintain their cloaking device forever. Sooner or later, they got to let down. But that's the way sinners are. I don't care how pious they act. I don't care how holy they act. Sooner or later, the act comes to an end. The curtain comes down. You can't wear a cloaking device forever and ever. I'm afraid. Klingons cannot go to warp speed while they're cloaked. The best they can do with a cloaking device on is maneuvering speed, impulse power. They just barely can get around. That cloaking device, while it does hide their presence, it does protect them from detection, it limits almost everything else they can do. And so, if they want to go full speed and just live like they want to live, they got to turn off the cloaking device. And sometimes you see that, you know, you see sinners that have been trying to maintain a facade for a while and wear a little cloaking device and pretend this and pretend that, and after a while they just get tired of the whole charade and they throw it in the trash can and go for and live for the devil wide open. They turn the cloaking device off and go to warp speed. And people say, well, didn't so-and-so used to go to church? Yeah, they went to church some. They did this a little bit, blah, blah, blah. But, boy, I'll tell you what, last year or two, man, they just been hell on wheels. See, what happened? They decided to go to warp speed, and they threw the cloaking device in the trash can. That's pretty good, ain't it? I worked really hard on it. Now, let's talk about the cloaking device. Only the Klingons have got it. Federation spaceships don't have a cloaking device. Starship Enterprise does not have a cloaking device. But the Klingons do. And they're the only ones that developed it. It's a special technology. Limited to Klingons only. You say, well, how does it work? Well, I don't want to bore you with the intricate details of my vast knowledge of cloaking device construction and engineering. Just suffice it to say that it's an amalgamation of power that crosses currents one with another to block optical view. All that make sense? I just made that up as I went. It's a subspace thing. Everything in Star Trek is subspace, but anyway. It's energy fields, and one going this way and one going that way, and it distorts time and distorts space and puts Einstein's theory of relativity in neutral, and because of that, whatever's on the backside don't show. Well, that sounds good to me. It's expensive. It's hard to maintain. It consumes a vast amount of power. It restricts motion. It restricts ability to do certain things, but it does have a place. Amen? But even though it's one cloaking device, there are several technologies that have to be implemented to make it work. Well, that's just exactly like the cloaking device sinners wear. They have one cloaking device, but it has five or six parts. Like if you have one orange, it may have eight or nine slices, but it's one orange. Amen? If you have the fruit of the Spirit, it's only one fruit, but it has love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. So it has nine parts. But it's one fruit. Now, the cloaking device is one device, but it has several things that make it up. And here's I'm going to give you the workings of the cloaking device of the Klingons. Number one, in order to have a good cloaking device, you have to have a professed humility. Absolutely essential to a good cloaking device. Well, you know, I don't know everything, and I don't know, you know, and I'm just a humble man, and I just take things as they go. The best cloaking device, to make it work really good, you need to have some kind of professed humility. You know, you don't think too high of yourself, and you're just a humble man. You're a humble person, which is always just a bald-faced lie. They really think they're cool. They really think they're slick. They really think they're pulling one over on you. They are anything in this world but humble. Their humility is professed humility. And they will put on a great show of not thinking more themselves than they ought to think, and considering others, and being tolerant of other people's views and other people's position. They're just humble, and they don't live and let live, which is just nonsense. It's all about me, baby, is the truth. What you see in that professed humility is a false profession. What you see there is one part of the cloaking device. But now, if you're good at that, then you'll need this. This will help you. Be a perpetual do-gooder. If you're humble and good, you're almost invisible. Amen? People say, oh, that she is the nicest lady. She is just so humble, and she is so good. Why, they would give you the shirt off their back. Amen. Why, he would help you do anything. I've never seen a more helpful, generous person in my life. Man, you got them sucked right in. You know what that is? That's your cloaking device, so they don't see how mean and selfish and bitter you really are on the inside. It helps you hide your real nature and your real conduct. You know, I don't think I ever met anybody as sweet and nice as some of them people pretend to be. I told y'all about that little lady that came to our house one time up in Virginia Beach, and everybody said, oh, she's just the most humble lady, and she was deformed, and I'm making fun of her. I am not making fun of her. But she was all bent and bowed and had a big thing on her back, and she had a lot of problems, and all that was real. But her humility and her sweetness weren't. I was around that little old lady just enough to figure out she was mean as hell itself. And all that stuff was just when people were around. You know what? She was wearing a cloaking device. And after I got to know her a little bit, I said something to somebody one day about it. They were talking about her. And I said, I'm not sure she's so sweet and nice. Oh, they got downright defensive. Man, her cloaking device had worked. Everybody just thought she was the sweetest, nicest, kindest, gentlest, most giving, generous little lady in the world. Why, preacher, she's all crippled up like that, and she's just got the sweetest spirit. No, she didn't. She's mean as hell. A lot of them found that out, too, after a little while. So, you need professed humility. You need perpetual do-gooderness. Then you need obvious generosity. This helps to hide what you really are. When you see people give more than they ought to give, give more often than they need to give, but they always make sure that somebody knows that they're giving, a lot of times that's part of their cloaking device. They want to look like they're tender-hearted. They want to look benevolent. They're trying to hide from you the fact that a lot of times they're mean and selfish and greedy and backbiting and backstabbing. The natural man doesn't want you to see what the natural man really looks like. If you take the cloaking device off the average sinner, he looks just like a Klingon. Big and brash and bold and ugly. I think the humble human being is a myth. That's what I think. Now, if you want to complete, so we've got this current going this way. This is professed humility. And then going across this way, we have obvious generosity. And right beneath that, going this way, we have obvious generosity. Then, to almost complete it, we need two more things to make the shield, and we'll have currents going every direction, and it'll be impossible to see through it. We will have distorted the space-time continuum around the individual so that you can't see what they really are. What do we need to add to those three things? Culture. The world is a sucker for culture. Do you know where culture falls in the scheme of things? Evangelism, education, culture. What comes right here? Surely somebody knows. What comes after culture? Huh? Apostasy. Right? But the world loves. I mean, go down to Bob Jones University and take a look. They've got millions of dollars worth of paintings and artwork and all that in a Christian school. A lot of poor saints gave a lot of money to build that place to teach Christians and give them a Christian education with a Christian perspective of the world. And what we spent the money on was art. The world loves culture. They say, well, she's just the most refined. She's the most elegant lady. He is just such a gentleman. That's because you know how to dress, and you dress, you have the right decorum, and you know all the right forks to use, and you have the right way to say things, and people are just impressed by that. And if you're cultured and educated and generous and humble, that's just almost a magic elixir. I mean, that's just almost makes it complete. Now, and here's what we need to complete our shield for the Klingon. He needs to be religious, but not spiritual. Oh, yeah. They go to First Baptist Church. Wife and I went, was it last Sunday? It was last Sunday. We went to Michael's for lunch after church last Sunday. And by the way, you need to go there and try their fried asparagus. Hallelujah, glory to God. That stuff is going to be served at marriage supper of the Lamb. That stuff was good. But anyway, we go down there, and the little girl comes and asks what we want to drink, and she had water and I had a Coke. And the people right next to us, she's all got her Sunday finery on, and he's got his coat and tie and all that stuff. It's obvious they've been to church. And he's drinking a bottle of beer and she's drinking wine. Well, that's okay in moderation. They're religious, but they're not spiritual. Now, we have a whole generation have mastered this part of the cloaking device. They know how to sound religious. They know how to talk religious. I know folks that can tell you all the right things. They know what Baptists believe. They know the Baptist distinctives. They're King James only Baptists. They go to independent, fundamental, hell-raising Baptist church, and they ignore everything that's preached and taught, and they just go on out there, and they run around naked and go to the beach and dancing and mixed bathing and gamble and all that stuff. They are religious, but there ain't one spiritual bone in their whole body. But now, if you can manage to put all this together into one tapestry, if you can make one cloak out of these five parts, you can fool the whole wide world. If you can have professed humility, perpetual do-gooderness, obvious generosity, culture, and religion without spirituality, everybody in the world will think you're a Federation guy, and they would never suspect you of being a Klingon. Now, here's the question. How do we uncloak the Klingon? You can't capture him and convert him and turn him into a Lieutenant Worf till you capture him. You got to get his shields down, get his cloaking device off, take him prisoner, and convert him. Well, that's what we want to do to them sinners. We want to get behind that facade they wear. We want to get behind that cloaking device that they've got. We don't want to kill them. We don't want to exterminate them. We want to convert them. But you cannot do it as long as they have got that shield up. As long as they've got that cloak and device on, you can't talk to them. So here's what we need to do. One, and this is an absolute prerequisite, and I don't think most Federation people have got it. I think y'all are so comfortable flying around on Enterprise, you missed this. The first requisite to uncloaking a Klingon is to understand the necessity that makes it necessary for them to cloak. I didn't get them in there. That is, you are never going to make any progress in getting behind the cloak of the Klingon until you first understand why it is necessary for him to wear the cloak in the first place. Amen? It's necessary for him to wear the cloak because the big guy from the Federation came and turned the light on to reveal what Klingons are and how they operate and what they look like. Jesus said, if I had not come, they had no need of a cloak, but now they got to have a cloak. They got no cloak for their sin. See? Why? Because the light of the world came. That's why. So let me give you four or five things about that. Four things about that. You say, well, what makes it necessary for a Klingon to have to wear a cloaking device? Why do we need to show them that? Well, because a Klingon at almost any point will say, I've sinned. I've committed sin. I've done things I'm ashamed of, preacher. I know it's wrong. Well, that's not his problem. Even though that's a problem, that is not the problem. You say, what is the problem? Be merciful to me, a sinner. The guy never said, I'm sorry for my sin. He didn't say, forgive me for what I've done. He said, forgive me for what I am. And what Klingons don't want you to know, it's bad enough, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating, if you know he drinks. Or he had an affair, or, you know. But it is unbearable. It is not acceptable if you figure out what he is. He is a sinner. And he does those things because it is his nature. You know why a Klingon looks like a Klingon and acts like a Klingon? Because he is a Klingon. And you know why people sin and do all the wicked things they do? Because they are sinners. They were born that way. Now you become guilty of sin when you commit an act. But you were born a sinner. And what we're trying to do is change your nature. We want to convert you. I want Lieutenant Worf out of the Klingon Empire and into the Federation ship. So you need to understand that first. If you don't understand that, then you won't go about it the right way. Now, which leaves four things that need to be done to uncloak a Klingon. Number one, bombard the cloaking device with phasers. You have to turn them phasers on that cloaking device and just start bombarding it. And keep it up and keep it up. You say, what kind of phaser? 1611 phaser. The Word of God phaser. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And quit all this nonsense of inviting folks to church to party and have a good time. Let's give them the Word of God. Let's quit putting on our church signs cute little sayings and start putting on their Bible. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, why are you putting cute little sayings and little jokes on church signs? How come you don't have a condemning verse on this side and a healing verse on that side? The very idea of having a church sign not putting Bible on it. Bombard the Klingon's cloaking device with the Word of God. Turn the phasers on and let them have it, buddy. Number two, overpower the cloaking device. You see, when they put up the cloaking device, they are pretty maxed out on power. And if you can overpower it, because they are short on power, they're maxed out. Say, how do you overpower the cloaking device? With the power of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And if God's people would spend as much time seeking God and get God's power on a problem or on a person or on a situation as we do trying to find cute little ways to tempt them and set them up and this and the other, we'd have a whole lot more success. We can overpower that thing, but it has to be through the power of prayer. We've got to get God on the scene. Bombard them with the phasers. Overpower them with prayer. Penetrate the cloaking device with truth. With truth. Not with fairy tales. What? Not with church lore. Not with your denominational doctrine. What the Klingon needs to get through that shield, you got to take the power of prayer and the phasers and start hitting that thing and hitting that thing and hitting that thing until you get a little crack, and then you shoot truth right through that thing. Some years ago, I had a crew of men over at a building here in Rock Hill. We were going to take an old boiler out. It was a big, huge cast iron boiler. And I was probably in my early 50s at the time. I had a couple of kids in there, 18, 20 years old, one big old boy. And we had some 8-pound sledgehammers. And so we took the, cut the draw rods and pried the thing apart and put one of the sections down on the floor. And I picked up the hammer. I was going to crack the first one. You have to, they're so heavy you can't move them. So you have to bust them up into pieces. This kid come over. He took that sledgehammer out of my hand. He took it and boy, he hit a mighty lick down on that thing. And that hammer just bounced about 4 feet in the air. He just thought he was going to shatter that. One big lick. One fell swoop was all it was going to take. He hit that thing about 3-4 times, and he's going, I said, give me the hammer. And I just took a nice steady lick and a nice steady lick and hit it in exactly the same blade. And after about 6 or 8 times, crack, and that thing fell apart. He said, well, how'd you do that? He said, I hit it a lot harder. It's not how hard you hit it. It was hitting it in that same spot over and over and over and over until we created a weakness, and then we took advantage of the weakness and we win. And so if you will do what I'm saying, when you've got somebody you're praying for, some sinner you're trying to witness to, some Klingon you're trying to convert, you're trying to get Worf out of the spaceship and into the Federation, what you got to do is get through that cloaking device and through that shield. You're going to have to bombard him with the phaser, get him the Word of God, overpower him with the prayer, and get God the Holy Spirit on it, and then penetrate it with the truth. So what do you do then? You bring Klingon face to face with the head of the Federation, Jesus Christ. Worf is a Klingon. He is an enemy of the Federation. And his end is destruction, because the Federation is going to win. We're the good guys. We got the white suits. We ride the white horses. So if we don't get Lieutenant Worf out of that Klingon vessel, that bird of prey, he's going to perish with the Klingons. So we got to get him out of that Klingon vessel and get him over here in this Federation vessel. And then he has to make his peace with the head of the Federation. And when he bows and acknowledges Jesus Christ, that sinner is saved by amazing, marvelous, matchless grace. And that's how you uncloak a Klingon. Uncloaked any lately? Klingons everywhere. And they're all wearing cloaking devices. They're all running around pretending that they're okay. They're all running around pretending they're good. They're all running around pretending they're religious. They got their cloaking device on. You need to find out what destroys cloaking devices and use it. Get the Word of God, the power of prayer, the truth, which shall set you free, and bring that sinner to Jesus Christ. And he'll be converted, and he can sing, "I once was a Klingon, now I'm free." Saved, saved, saved. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be busy. We need to be busy.
Amen.
Uncloaking Klingons. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray, oh God, you'd help us.